Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Yom Tsukar Reef, a show that is designed so you can get into your in-depth studies to learn the who, what, when, where, and how as to how you must comport your relationship with your Creator, your Almighty, in each other and other nations. And widows, strangers, homeless, orphans, all. So these studies, we feel, are imperative, paramount to your development, to your evolvement, because you've been dumbed down by virtue of your captivity. And by virtue of your captivity, because of your dumbing down, you have been taught all the wrong things about the wrong people. You have taught to hate whatever remotely looks like you. Don't listen to it. Don't study from it. And certainly don't love it. Kill it. Mistreat it. Abuse it. Dominate it. Destroy it. Seek them out like heat-seeking missiles. But don't question the authorities. I have to concur with Neely Fuller Jr. when I see this so-called man they call their president. Neely Fuller says, and I repeat, I paraphrase, if you don't know what universal white race supremacy and racism is and how it works, you will be totally confused about everything. And certainly if you're confused about what is going on as far as this president is concerned, yes, you are confused. You're wasting your time focusing in on one another, not seeking solutions through your creator. You must rather be dumbed down and look at each other. Oh, I hate Yum Soup. I hate Contrail. Who they think they are? They think they something special. No, we don't think we're anything special. We just want what's best for us and for you. Now, if this makes us something special, I guess we are. That being said, welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. Contrail, my brother and friend, I'm going to bring you on. Open up your mic, and I'm sure you have some commentaries on what I just spoke about. May the Most High bless you, Contrail. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Yaakov. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yapsuf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
Well, people are still out there hating the word of the Most High, because we're definitely not giving our own opinion.
No.
And we've got to explore what he's telling us to do right now and looking at our roots and our culture to find out how we got here and where we're going. Because if you don't know where you came from, you certainly don't know where you're going. If you don't have those bearings on where you're going.
I know that. You don't know the lay of the land. Right. You don't know the lay of the land, Contrail.
If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. And right now, they're trying to kill us. They're trying to eliminate world population. And we're going to fall right into their trap.
Exactly.
If we let them. We allow ourselves.
If we let them.
But yeah, you can't be following these people. These people don't have our best interest at heart. They, you know, two sides of the same coin, Republican, Democrat. What have they really done for our people?
Yeah, they put you in control of things that you really have no control of. They'll let you be in charge of some things. But in a fine analysis, as Katya alluded to, they're both sides of the same coin. Someone told me, well, Joe Biden is worse than Donald Trump. I said, hold on, brother. This is not about being worse. This is about being both sides of the same coin. And they take both sides of the argument. They'll tell you, yeah, we're down with you. Yeah, you need all kind of rights, but they ain't going to give them to you. And on the other side of the coin, no. The football players, take their ass off the field. So, oh yeah, they take both sides of the argument, and in both sides of the argument with them, you don't win. Believe that. They'll give you positions. They got warehouses full of positions, but they don't amount to anything. True be told, Contrail, you know they gave us a lot of positions after the so-called Civil War. I mean, we was in all legislative branches. We was in the Senate and the houses all throughout the South. What happened?
That was a strategy.
Yeah.
It was wasn't like they was trying to be like Pharaoh in ancient Egypt and put people in position to help the nation. It's just token to keep us suppressed. So
exactly.
They could always point to the person that they appoint and say, see, we doing this for y'all, but be 1 out of 7 million.
Godreal. Godreal, yeah. you ever, no, you ain't never been there. Yom Suf used to live a checkered life. Yom Suf used to be behind them four stars with bars. And in them four stars with bars, you had your regular average inmate. Didn't have too much to go on. They sort of fought on the prison yards and whatnot and run their little lady boys around the prison. And then you had your trustees. They would step up. They wore better clothing, ate a little bit better food. But what I'm getting at, they were still inmates. They give you positions. Oh, they put you a lot of positions. They got a warehouses full of positions. But they don't amount to nothing. Just like those trustees. The warden's still in charge and the guards too. So don't get the game twisted. Oh, I'm an inmate. I'm an inmate in charge of the buckets and the mops. But you're still in prison. Go ahead, Contria. What else you got to say, my brother, before we get started?
Well, I'll take it back even further than that. I'll take it to the plantation, bro.
Right.
All of us was in slavery, but some of us was in the field picking that cotton. And some of us was in the master's house,
exactly.
Washing them dishes, and serving that food, and getting them off the table.
Being the manly for the little babies. Yeah.
But being foot warmers for these white dudes, if you was a little
right.
little child. Foot warmer.
Right.
Lay on the floor, boy. Come over here. Lay at my feet so I can put my feet on you, get them warm.
I cold.
But you still wasn't nothing but a slave. At the bottom, at the end of the tail is telling you. You still ain't nothing but a slave.
You're filling them same feet, but you ain't picking that cotton in that hot sun.
You still ain't nothing but a slave.
Yep.
So whatever position they give you, the bottom line, you still ain't nothing but a slave. All right.
And they're not really a God-fearing people. They don't fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
No.
They don't think he's real. They trying to find him in some kind of collider. The God particle.
Right.
And you following them.
Yeah, these are a real cruel and inhumane people, especially those so-called evangelicals. Those evangelicals who believe in Christus. They say they are so close to God. So close to God. Amen. So close to God. But Donald Trump is sent from God. If that's what's sent from God, your God, Donald Trump.
When's the last time Donald Trump offered up a national prayer for a quarter of a million people that have died from this plague? Has he stopped to say, hey,
right.
we need to offer up a prayer?
Some of this sexual predator? Come on, bro. Keep it real, Cadrillo.
And what about Joe? Sleepy Joe.
Yeah.
What he do?
Yeah.
Has he taken the time to say a prayer for the nation?
He go in that Catholic place. I don't know what he's doing up in there. You know what I mean? Up in there.
He relying on the scientists, man.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Donald Trump ain't relying on the Mossad, no scientists.
Mm-hmm. Truth be told.
He don't need the Most High. He don't need science. Donald Trump got all the answers, but he's a loser.
Donald Trump is a god within himself. He's a demigod. All right, turn to chapter 29, brothers and sisters. Let us enlighten ourselves and inform ourselves and encourage and motivate ourselves as to what is really important and what really holds solutions for us, okay? And they're still going through the building of the tabernacle and the wilderness. Go ahead, Contrail.
You're going to see the difference between the seriousness of how we served our Creator, the true Creator, and you can compare it with how they, you know, observe their Christmas.
Right.
Everything is commercial. Nothing really about the Most High.
Commercial. Everything is commercial. It ain't about the seriousness, as Cartrell alluded to. It's commercial, baby. Look here. May the Most High bless you, our fellow students, with his, the study of his word, and most importantly, the application of his word. Okay. Chapter 29, have you got there? Okay. This is what you should do to them in consecrating them to serve me as priests, the anointing. Here's how they got anointed. Take a young bull of the herd and two rams without blemish. Also unleavened bread, unleavened cakes with oil mixed in, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and make these of choice wheat flour. Place these in one basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. Lead Aaron and his sons up to the entrance of the tent of meeting, the tent of the tabernacle. Wash them with water. Take the vestment and clothes Aaron with the tunic, the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the decorated band of the ephod. Take the headdress on his head, place the holy diadem upon the headdress. Take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. That's how we got anointed, the priest. Then bring his sons forward, clothe them with their tunics, and wind turbans upon their head. Gird both Aaron and his sons with sashes. They look fine. They serious. They looking good. And so they shall have priesthood as their right for all time. You shall then ordain Aaron and his sons. Lead the bull up. This is how you go about it doing it. Lead the bull up to the front of the tent of the tabernacle. And let Aaron and his son lay their hands upon the head of the bull. Slaughter the bull before the Elohim at the entrance of the tabernacle. Take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns, the four horns of the altar with your fingers. Specification. You couldn't throw it on there. You couldn't rub it on there with a rag. You couldn't put it on there with your big toe. Put it on there with your fingers. Then pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Take all the fat that covers the entrails, the pubescence on the liver, and the two kidneys with the fat on them. Turn them into smoke on the altar. Burn them. The rest of the flesh of the bull, its hide, and its dung should be put to the fire outside of the camp. It is a sin offering.
So we see the procedures of offering an offering to the Most High God.
Exactly.
Sticking a man on a cross after he'd been beat up and dragged through the streets, sticking nails in his hands and in his feet is not an acceptable sacrifice to the Most High.
No,
all right?
No.
So we see that they try to incorporate that when they give you, you know, the body and the blood of Jesus. They give you the wafer and they give you some wine.
Right.
So we started out with the wheat, right?
Right.
And now we get to the blood of the bull.
Right.
That you have to sprinkle on the altar and pour at the base of the altar. So they got the concept. But it's not meant for a man.
It's not. Mm-mm. Then it says, take the one ram and let Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the ram's head. Slaughter the ram. Take his blood and dash it against the side of the altar. Cut up the ram into sections. Wash its entrails and legs and put them with quarters in his head. Turn all of the ram into smoke upon the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Elohim, a pleasing odor, an offering by fire to the Elohim. Then take the other ram and let Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the ram's head. Slaughter the ram. Take some of its blood and put it on the ridge of Aaron's right ear. And on the ridges of his son's right ear, and on the thumbs
of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet and dash the rest of the blood against every side of the altar round about, all four sides. Take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle both the blood and the anointing oil upon Aaron and his vestments, his clothing, also upon his sons and his sons' vestment clothing.
That's pretty peculiar, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty peculiar. But it's a requirement.
You couldn't put that oil on the body, as we'll see. You had to pour it on these holy clothes because everything that oil went on was made holy. And as we'll see, they poured it on everything, on the tables and everything inside the tent.
Exactly.
But when people talk about they sanctified, they anointed, no, we didn't go through this process right here.
No, this process. This is a serious process. And thus shall he and his vestments be holy, as well as his sons and his sons' vestments, their clothing. You shall take from the ram the fat part, the broad tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the pubescence on the liver, the two kidneys with the fat on them, and the right thigh. For this is the lamb of ordination. Add one loaf of bread, one cake of oil bread, and one wafer from the basket of unleavened bread that is before the Elohim. Place all these on the palms of Aaron and his sons. Offer them as an elevation offering before the Elohim. Take them from their hands and turn them into smoke. Burn them up on the altar, upon the altar with the burnt offering, as a pleasing odor before the Elohim. It is the offering by fire to the Elohim.
So everything offered had to be what?
It had to be purified.
And burnt with fire.
After it's purified, then burnt with fire. All of it.
Even the bread.
Then take the breast of Aaron's ram of ordinance and offer it as an elevation offer before the Elohim. It shall be your portion. You shall consecrate the breast that was offered as an elevation offering and the thigh that was offered as a gift offering from the ram of ordination. From that which was Aaron's and from that which was his son's, and those parts shall be a due for all times from the Israelites to Aaron and his descendants, for they are a gift. And so shall they be a gift from the Israelites, their gifts to the Elohim out of their sacrifices of well-being. The sacred vestments of Aaron, his clothing, shall pass on to his sons after him, for them to be anointed and ordained in it. He among his sons who become high priest in his stead, who enters the tent of the meeting to officiate within the sanctuary, shall wear them 7 days. You should take the ram of ordination and boil it to flesh in the sacred precinct, not anywhere. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that was in the basket at the entrance of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. These things shall be eaten only by those for whom expiation was made with them for when they were ordained and consecrated. They may not be eaten by a layman, contrary to me, and we are not Levites or priests, for they are holy. If any of the flesh of ordination or any of the bread is left over until morning, you shall put what is left to the fire, burn it up. It shall not be eaten, but it is holy. That's for the priest and the high priest. Thus you shall do the Aaron and his sons, just as I commanded you. You shall ordain them through 7 days up. They have to be ordained through a seven-day period. And each day you shall prepare a bull as a sin offering for expiation. You shall purge the altar by performing purification upon it, and you shall anoint it to consecrate it, that altar. 7 days you shall perform purification for the altar to consecrate it. 7 days, that altar. And the altar shall become most holy. Whatever touches the altar shall be consecrated. Something serious.
So most of our people don't know what being sanctified and holy and anointed is.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've seen the nitty gritty of what it really is, because this is quite a process. Every day, 7 days, you got to bring up a bull.
Right. A very
to a lot of people,
right.
It may sound like voodoo.
Right. Well, I don't
taking
care
the
what
blood and putting on the ear and the tip of the thumb and the tip of the toe and sprinkling the
right.
blood on the altar and the
right.
base of the altar. That's why we can't do that here, because they would call it voodoo.
You about right, Country. They certainly would.
But that's how our priest became holy. And that
exactly.
garment and anything that touched it became holy. So the layman couldn't touch that stuff. You couldn't
exactly.
just walk in there and touch them priests, walk up and shake their hand and give them a hug. No, couldn't
yeah.
do that.
Right. You couldn't eat none of that food.
Nope.
That would kill you.
And the two parts that they had was the breast and the thigh that they had to
exactly.
put aside for Aaron
right.
and for his son. And they had
exactly.
to eat it.
Exactly. And what was left over, if it was any left in the morning, they had to burn it up.
That's right.
Now, this is what you shall offer upon the altar once you've purified it. 2 yearling lambs. Each day, regularly, you shall offer the one lamb in the morning, and you shall offer the other lamb at twilight. There shall be a tenth of a measure of choice flour with a quarter of hin of beaten oil mixed in libation of a quarter hin of wine for one lamb. You shall offer the other lamb at twilight, repeating with it the meal offering of the morning with its libation, an offering by fire for a pleasing odor to the Elohim, a regular burnt offering throughout the generations at the entrance of the tent of meetings before the Elohim.
Where?
For them. Go. You say anything, Katria?
I said, where are we supposed to do this?
You're supposed to do it at the entrance of the tent of the meeting before the Elohim.
And how many times a day we supposed to do this?
Twice a day.
How many days?
Twice a day, every day.
Twice a day, every day, at the door of the tent of meeting. Can we do that in captivity?
Brother, you better not do it twice a month here, okay?
Twice a month.
You better not do it twice a month here, okay?
But we got Israelites walking around thinking that they're doing the Torah. I don't think they're doing this, are they?
They ain't doing none of this, because they ain't sanctified no altar that the Most High has designated, an altar that the Most High has prescribed according to his specifications. So they simply lean to their own understanding, contrary. All intents
yep.
and purposes, and there is
Big
no constructive
time.
Value in what they're doing. Okay, there is nothing constructive and valuable, constructive and positive in what they're doing. That's what you call leaning to your own understanding, doing what
and
you
the
want
fact
to
that they're misleading people and leading people
exactly.
astray, because
exactly.
what they're giving to people to think people think that this is the way that it's supposed to be done, the way we're doing
yeah.
it, the way we do it.
No, they ain't doing nothing. If they ain't doing it the way that was prescribed here, they ain't doing nothing. You're doing a whole lot of nothing. You're wasting your time.
And no Israelite I know is doing any of this right here.
None of it. No sacral vestment according to specification. No diadem, no sashes, no anointing with oil on the ridge of the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. Okay? So they ain't doing nothing. And they ain't got no flocks. that the Israelites brought to him. And so what did they
every
do?
Day.
Every day.
Every day, twice daily.
Yeah. So
twice
if you ain't doing it, but you ain't doing it like that, you ain't doing nothing. I'm going to keep it real. You're lying to yourself and to each other. And you know all the stuff. You're not proving anything to anybody. What are you proving? If you're not going by what Yah said, what are you proving? What are you trying to get at? Because you sure ain't trying to get to Yah. You need to stop lying to people, whoever you are. I strongly advise you to stop lying to people. To stop playing games. But that's all you're doing, lying to people and playing games. You're not following Yah. You're leaning to your own understanding. And you're going to be in a world of trouble, for a world of hurt. I'm going to just keep it real. And I will continue. For there I will meet with you. There I will speak with you, Yah speaking. And there I will meet with the Israelites. We're going to come to terms. It's going to be a meeting of the minds. And it shall be sanctified by my presence. Then I will come. I will sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests, Levite priests. Where are your Levite priests at? You don't know.
Wait, whoa. Right. It's not the Levites. It's Aaron and his sons. He ain't say no Levite.
Oh,
Aaron
no
is
Levite.
A Levite.
Okay.
But him and his sons are the priests.
To serve me as priest.
Yes, only Aaron and his sons. He didn't say no other Levite.
Exactly. So you have to come from the lineage of Aaron.
That's right.
And so these people who are proposing, they're from the lineage of Aaron. They don't even know what lineage. They don't even really know what tribe they're from. The Most High gonna reveal all that. And certainly if you're a Levite, you know you're a Levite, which you don't know. But you don't know you're a Levite from the lineage of Aaron. So you're in a double ball of confusion.
It's like finding a needle in a thousand haystacks.
Because the Most High has taken away our identities, taken away our nations, taken away our lineage, taken away our heritage. And only he can redeem that. Only he can reveal that. But if you're proposing, projecting, and being presumptuous to say, oh, I know. I'm from the lineage of Aaron. Who told you that? How'd you figure that out? Did Yah tell you? No, I just said it. You see, that's your problem, Young Sue. That's your problem,
Ancestry.com, Young Sue. Ancestry.com. You got technology, bro.
They found it on Ancestry.com?
Ancestry.com, baby.
That's how they found it?
I think so.
Yeah, whatever. Let me conclude this. Ancestry.com. That's funny, Contrail. I will sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. I will abide among the Israelites.
Yes.
I will be their Elohim.
Not in
and
heaven.
They shall know that I am the Yah, am their Elohim, who brought them out from the land of Mizraim, that I may abide among them. I
may do what?
That Elohim, that I might abide among them.
He not taking us to heaven?
No, he ain't saying nothing about no heaven.
Oh, he coming here.
He got the same Christian player.
Most I coming here.
No, he ain't saying nothing about no heaven. He said, I will abide among you.
Okay.
He said, y'all ain't got to come here. I'm coming to y'all. Well, I got to bring all y'all up around here for. I got enough folks. I got the heavenly host around here. I don't need nobody here trespassing running around here. I'm going to come to y'all. Y'all ain't got to come to me.
I think somebody better send NASA a memo.
Well, you know, man, you on fire tonight, brother. You on fire tonight, Contrail. What's your commentary, brother, on the chapter we just studied?
This is a very serious chapter, and it gives the definition of consecration. It gives the definition of what being anointed is. It gives the definition of who are the priests in the nation of Israel. So there's a whole lot of defining that's going on in this chapter, especially in regards to what a sacrifice is. The Most High didn't accept human sacrifices.
No.
He gave these orders of sacrifices to elevate the children of Israel to being holy. Why did they have to be holy? Because they had to minister to the Most High God. And you just can't be ministering to God any old kind of way. You had to be holy. And these men, Aaron and his sons, they almost had to put on like armament, a breastplate and tunic and turbans and this oil, this anointing oil that basically protected them from the Most High God.
Exactly.
You can't dwell in Yah's presence. You like just a filthy rag.
Yeah. And it allowed the Most High to allow us to come to where the Levite priest through Aaron to get close to him in order to make appeals to him for the nation. And so that's the only way, just like putting on a armor for Aaron and or his sons to approach the Most High, was to be consecrated, anointed, and properly. Okay? Because he gave him the access to him. And you can only come to the Most High. I done gave you the telephone number. You can't be calling all them different numbers, basically, so to speak. I gave you one number. To get access to me, call that number. But if you getting it on that phone, you calling all different numbers, you're not reaching the Most High. And basically, for all intents and purposes, Cartrell, that's what some of us are doing. We didn't got out a telephone book. We calling all kind of numbers. But the Most High has provided certain prescriptions, certain details, and certain requirements. And that is the way to access that communication. Otherwise, you're simply going in the telephone book and dialing a whole lot of numbers. You're saying, I'm in touch with the Most High. No, you're not. You're lying to yourselves and to each other if you think that's the case. The information is right here. It's not something what Cartrell said. It's not something what Yum Su said. It's something that they've written. You need to read it and understand it.
Well, we're talking about the highest order in our nation, which is this priesthood, because they were almost like angels, being the ministers of the Spirit of Yah while he dwells in the midst of us. That's what angels do in heaven. They minister to the Spirit of Yah, and they have to be holy in order to do that. So these men, the sons of Aaron and Aaron himself, have to be serious about this job. So everything about it is serious, and the protocols are laid out for them to let them know that the job that they're about to take is serious.
Well, Cartrell, that's why if you notice, among the awakening and the awoken, there's a lot of confusion. And wherein lies the confusion is them leaning to their own understanding, not trusting in the Most High, not going by what the Most High said, going by what they said. And that end lies confusion. That's why you find a lot of them on Foodbook that talk like they lost their mind, some of them, on Foodbook and throughout this universe, talking like they lost their mind because they woke up. You know how you wake up out of deep sleep and you just swinging? Instead of waking up, calming down, and getting a lay of the land and ascertain yourself and get a grip. Some of us are woken up.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up?
Well, you need to calm down and take a lay of the land, so to speak. Gather your thoughts together. Get yourself together.
You know what I do when I wake up?
What's that, Cadrio?
I go to the bathroom and wash up. I brush my teeth. I wash my face. I take a shower. I put new clothes on.
Exactly.
When I wake up.
Well, that's gathering yourself together, Cadrio.
Yeah.
Get yourself together.
I ain't waking up and running out of my house.
No.
Calling that the super because there ain't no heat or ain't no hot water.
And if I was married again, you think my wife gonna be want me kiss on her stinking breath and whatnot, stinking body and whatnot? You know, no, she don't even want you kissing on her and whatnot, baby. And you know, I love you, but your breath stinky. You know, go brush your teeth and whatnot. And if a woman makes that demands on you, how many more demands do you think y'all gonna make on you? Clean yourself up before you approach me. You can't approach me any old kind of way with any old kind of way you want to. I'm giving you the prescription, just like your wife gave you the prescription. Honey, go and brush your teeth and wash your face. Give my mama a kiss. Just like your wife give you requirements, just like you give your wife requirements. How many more requirements did the Most High give you? You can't approach the Most High kissing, trying to kiss on him when he said, hey, look here, before you come next to me, I have certain requirements. And you need to honor those requirements before you approach me. How simple is that to understand? Cartrell said it beautifully. When you get up and clean yourself up. Get yourself together. And this process, what we're doing, by way of elimination of dirt, is studying the word of the Most High. Clean yourself up. Get yourself together. You can't approach me any way. You won't approach me. Just like you can't approach your wife. Just like your wife can't approach you. And how much more do the Most High require of us? Come on, man. Don't act like you ain't got no sense. Go ahead, Cartrell.
I will say that even in our undone state, the Most High does communicate with our people, but our people's hearts have to be right for them to be led in the right direction. And
exactly.
The biggest challenge is that we don't humble ourselves.
You know, that's the word I'm looking for.
We are hard-headed, stiff-necked people.
That's the word I'm looking for. That's
we don't open up our hearts and our minds to receive what we need to receive from the Most High. I was talking to my son, and I said Moshe was the perfect example of being humble so that he could receive what he needed to receive in order to do what he had to do. Because most of our people, they're not humble enough, you know, to receive that message like they should. It's like solar panels. If you got a block on the solar panel, you're not going to get all the power that the sun is supposed to be giving it, right?
You're arrogant. Your arrogancy, not your humility. I mean, your humility was going to get you close to Yah. That's going to get you following what he required of you. But your arrogancy, oh, I woke up, I'm a Hebrew Israelite, and everybody owed me something.
And I'm doing the Lord here in captivity, but we ain't fulfilling none of these requirements right here. And the only way we can fulfill these requirements right here is we had our own country and our own land. And you see the fact that it was Aaron and his sons that were the priests for the whole nation means that they wasn't doing sacrifices everywhere. The people had to go to them.
Exactly.
That's the Most High saying. You got to bring these offerings of the place where I'm at. Ain't everywhere.
Exactly. All right, y'all. Thank you, Cartrell. Let us continue on. Turn to chapter 30. You know, after chapter 30, we got 10 more chapters. And we're moving on to Leviticus after that. Boy, we're moving right along, thanks to the Most High. We didn't come up. What's the name of the country?
Wayikra.
Now, say it again.
Wayikra.
Wayikra. Okay, I get to it.
Wayikra.
Wayikra. Okay, I'm close enough. And I got a sudden flavor.
Wayikra.
Wayita. Wayitra. Wayitra.
Ra.
Ra. Ra-yita.
Roll that tongue, man. Wayikra.
Yari. Okay, let's continue. We will get there. You should make an altar for burning incense. Make it of a wood. It should be a cubit long and a cubit wide, 4 square. It should be square, 2 cubits high. Its horns on one piece with it, overlaid with pure gold. Its top, its sides round about, its horns make a gold molding for it round about. If you know what molding is, like house molding. And make 2 gold rings for it under the molding. Make them on 2 sides, on opposite sides. They should serve as holders for poles with to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood. Overlay them with gold. Place it in front of the curtain that is over the ark of the, in front of the covering that is over the ark. Where I will meet with you.
And that's a table just for incense.
Yeah, just incense. On it, Aaron shall burn aromatic incense. He shall burn it every morning.
When?
Every morning.
Okay.
When he tends the lamps of the lamp. And Moses shall burn it at twilight when he burns the lamps. A regular incense offering before the Elohim throughout the ages, continually. It don't stop till the casket drop, and it don't stop then. It continues on with one of your sons. And you shall not offer alien incense on it. Not anything. Not wildflower. Not sexy incense. I'm going to give you a prescription on that. You should not offer alien incense on it, or burnt offerings, or a meal offering. Neither say you pour libation on it. Once a year, Aaron shall perform purification on its horns with blood of the sin offering of purification. Purification shall be formed upon it once a year throughout the ages. It is holy to the Elohim. You got to purify the incense stand. The Elohim spoke to Moses saying, now this is what he got taken a census from. When you take the census of the Israelites people according to their enrollment, each shall pay the Elohim a ransom for himself on being enrolled, that no plague may come upon them through their enrollment. This is what everyone who is entered into the record shall pay, a half a shekel by the sanctuary weight, 20 gerahs to the shekel, a half a shekel as an offering to the Elohim, everyone who entered into the rolls of the census from the age of 20 years old and up, shall give the Elohim offering, the which shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than half a shekel. When giving the Elohim offering as an expiation for your persons, you should take the expiation money from the Israelites and assign it to the service of the tabernacle. It shall serve the Israelites as a reminder before the Elohim as the expiation for your person. You have redeeming yourself. When at the last time we've done that, country? Huh?
Never. Not here.
Okay. All right, then.
And something important is going down here. Mm-hmm. Because we're not supposed to number or take censuses of the children of Israel.
Right.
But when we had to, like you had to know the number of priests so
right.
that they could do different shifts. You had to
right.
know the number of men in the army.
Right.
And when you counted them, you had to give a ransom.
Half a shekel. Mm-hmm.
A shekel, what do you say? A shekel and a half?
Yeah, a half shekel. Right.
That was like redemption for what you were doing. That's a violation when we count ourselves. So
right.
when we take the census, do we pay this to the Most High?
No, we don't pay nothing.
Right.
But the Most High says, when you take this census that I require, you got to pay for that. And
where does it go?
Let me see. You should take your expiation money from the Israelites and assign it to the service for the service of the tabernacle.
There you go.
It's the tabernacle ain't
everywhere. It's in one place.
Yeah. It should serve the Israelites as a reminder before the Elohim as an expiation for their persons. The Elohim spoke to Moses saying, make her a layer of lava when you wash your hand of copper and a stand of copper for it for washing. Place it between the tent of the tabernacle and the altar, between both of them. Put water in it. Let Aaron and his son wash their hands and feet in water drawn from it. When they enter the tent of the tabernacle, they shall wash with water that they may not die. And when they approach the altar to serve at the altar, to turn into smoke, an offering by fire, to the Elohim, they shall wash their hands and feet, that they may not die. It shall be a law for all times for them. They ain't gonna stop. for him and his offspring throughout the ages.
So they had to wash at the temple. They couldn't take a bath or a shower at home and then come with their clothes and then go in the temple. No. They had to wash going in.
Yeah. You had to be clean before y'all. You don't like no stinking folk. You had to be clean. And the LOM spoke to Moses saying, next, he's going to tell him how to make the incense. Next, take choice spices. And I'm going to tell you what those spices are. 500 weight of solidified myrrh. Half as much. 250 of fragrant cinnamon. 250 of aromatic cane. 500 by the sanctuary weight of cassia, and a hin of olive oil. Make this sacred anointing oil, a compound of ingredients expertly blended together to serve as a sacral anointing oil. With it, anoint the tent of the meeting, the Ark of the Covenant, the table, and all its utensils. The lampstand, all of its fittings, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings and its utensils, the laver and its stand, thus you shall consecrate them so that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be consecrated, because I've consecrated them. So whatever touched them will be consecrated. You shall also anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrating them to serve me as priest, not everybody. And speak to the Israelites people as follows, as instructed. This shall be an anointment oil sacred to me throughout the ages. You must not rub it on any person's body. You must not make anything like it in its proportions. It is sacred. To be held sacred by me, I've gave you the specification. That's not for you. And don't make anything like it. Whoever compounds is like, whoever make anything like it, or puts any of it on any Israelite, shall be cut off from his kin. I'm going to cut you off. And Moses, and the Elohim said to Moses, take the herbs, static, oncha, Gabon, these herbs together with pure frankincense. Let there be an equal part of each. Make them into incense, a compound expertly blended, refined, pure, and sacred. Beat some of it into powder and put some before the tabernacle. While I will meet with you, it should be most holy to you, this incense. But when you make this incense, you must not make any in the same proportion for you. Don't make no incense like this for y'all. This for me. Don't make this incense for your personal consumption in any proportion. This incense that I'm providing for you is strictly for me. It shall be held by you sacred to the Elohim. Whoever makes anything like it, to smell of it, shall be cut off from his skin. I'm going to cut you off. You can't do what I do. So this oil is for me. You can't put it on your body. I done told you what to do with this oil. Don't make anything like it. This incense is for me. I don't make anything. Don't do it for private consumption. If you do, either one of them, I'm going to cut y'all off. Cottrell, what's your commentary, my brother and friend?
That's very interesting, because our people tend to assume positions that don't belong to them.
Exactly. And do what they shouldn't be doing, Cottrell.
Right. You in your tent, you trying to make this incense and this oil so you could be on the same level as Aaron and his son. And if I come by your tent and smell this joint going on, All of y'all getting kicked out the nation. You getting kicked out the nation.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
You in there, you got oil smelling like Aaron in his tongue. And you burning incense in your tent. Like the tent of the Most High, the tabernacle. Oh, you getting cut off, man. Pack your bag. I don't know where you're going, but you finna get ready to get out of here.
Quick, fast, and a hurry.
I'll tell you. Always take, like Cadriel said, being presumptuous, taking it upon yourself to do things that you ain't supposed to be doing, and taking liberties that you shouldn't be taking, and don't and ain't learning anything. And we still the same way, unfortunately, Cadriel, taking liberties and doing what we're not instructed to do.
And has it benefited us?
Not in one iota, Cadriel.
Okay. Because the Most High is very specific. You might think, wait a minute. Most High said for Aaron and his sons to put their head, the hand on the head of the bull and their hands on the head of the lamb and slaughter the lamb and burn it and take this part there and put that part there and sprinkle the... That sounds crazy.
Well,
right?
You know,
it's a logical mind.
But you know what, Cadriel? It ain't for them to determine what it sounds like. You're supposed
right.
to do that. That's what's wrong with some of us today, Cadriel. All we're trying to question now.
Mm-hmm.
If it's right for him, it ought to be right for you. That should be your attitude.
So we know that the man they call Jesus Christ or Yehoshua HaMashiach never went through this anointing process. And we can see how intricate and detailed it really is.
Not to my knowledge.
Right? They say the woman put some oil on his feet. And I don't know where she got that oil from, but she better not have had none made up in her house.
That's what I'm saying. Where she get that oil?
Anointing people. Yeah, where she get that oil from?
It
wasn't this oil.
And she didn't want to have none of that Norman oil in the first place.
And this is the same oil. The priests had the oil. And what did they do with that oil? They anointed the king with that same oil that
exactly.
made everything in the holy place holy. So when they anointed that king with that oil, guess what? He became a holy king, right?
Exactly. A righteous king.
I don't know about righteous, but...
It should have been. I don't know about righteous.
Just because you got that oil poured on you, it'll make you righteous.
Yeah.
It tells you the seriousness of your responsibility, and you should be able to, you know, be up to the task. But we're going to see that everybody wasn't up to the task, even though they were anointed.
Exactly. Yep, you're right about that, Cartrell. Everybody wasn't up to the task, although they were anointed. All right, Cartrell.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Right? People criticize Aaron, right? Oh, Aaron made the golden calf. No. He was anointed, wasn't he?
Exactly.
So, I mean, just because you're anointed doesn't mean that you don't have flaws and fallacies.
Right, right.
Human being, King David, anointed. And he tells us of all his flaws. It didn't make him flawless, but it made him humble to expose
right.
that he was a human being just like everybody else. He made mistakes, but he was wholly bold enough to admit him to the Most High and move forward and not do them again.
Exactly. Well, Cadriel, if you're done with your commentary, my brother, I'm done with it. We're gonna keep it moving, my brother. We're waiting on another lovely, informative Psalms, and we'll continue on in our studies.
Surprise, surprise, we got a Psalm of King David in the 101st Psalm.
You know, Abiyah said you did a repetition of Psalms 100 yesterday. I didn't want to stop you because it sounds pretty good. But she said you did a repeat of Psalms 100. But it sounds so good and it sounds so juxtaposition and so synchronized with our study session. I didn't want to stop you.
And you know what they say in V75? Repetition makes you a master.
Well, I could have stopped it, but it just sounds so good. So I said, well, why stop a good thing?
Right. So, it fit right in, didn't it?
It fit right in. So I didn't want to stop a good thing, Abiyah. It wasn't that I was annoying you, Abiyah.
I didn't want to stop a good thing. That's all. I didn't take no offense. And don't be offended because I didn't respond as such. But because we keep us always keep us reminded, because sometimes we do be off the ball sometimes. Keep us on the court.
Yeah, thank you. That's Abby's job. Yeah, keep us on the job, man.
Yeah, she'll blow the whistle when you ain't playing in the court. Keep us on the court, Abby.
But it lets us know she's paying attention. Somebody out there paying attention.
Exactly.
All righty then. So we are on the 101st Psalm, right, Sister Abia? I hope.
Right, right. Exactly, 101st.
Okay. So King David says, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Yah, will I sing praise. I'll be careful to lead a blameless life. When you come to me, when will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. How many of us are making these kind of declarations to the Most High? I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. How many of us are making that kind of declaration? I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part of it. So when you're around people that don't have faith in the Most High, you shouldn't even be around them.
Exactly.
Don't have no part of them. That's what King David said. The perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. And that should be our standard too, right?
Exactly.
You're going to hang around perverse people and thinking you're going to change them. No, get away from them. Stay far from me.
Exactly.
I might, you know, try to point you in a way of wisdom and understanding, but I ain't hanging around you. Your heart is perverse. And you into evil. You're evilly inclined. You into the evil things. And that's on your mind all the time. That's all you talk about.
Right.
Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Like, yo, don't talk to me about him.
I don't want to hear that.
If I got a problem with him, I'll talk to him directly. But you gossiping about the brother, he ain't here to defend himself. Nah.
Yeah, talk to him. Talk to her. Right. Yeah, talk to him. Talk to her. Don't talk to me. Ain't got nothing to do with me.
So they don't do it in secret now. They put it on Facebook.
They put it on Facebook where the fools go.
And listen, because King David wouldn't have been on Facebook, because he says, whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. So he would do just like you. They go into the, what's that box you got?
Fool's book.
For when people contend with you with foolishness. What you do with them?
I send them to Fool's Paradise.
Fool's Paradise. That's right.
I mean, I have time. I post some stuff that's constructive and positive. But I don't have time for arguments and no nonsense. But people understand on my page, don't come to Yom Suf with that nonsense. Because one thing, he's not going to argue, fuss, and fight with you. He may ask you a few questions. But for the gist of it, if you want to be argumentative, name-calling, cussing and fussing and all that, Yom Suf ain't got no time for it. Yom Suf going to send you Fool's Paradise.
Fool's Paradise.
Fool's Paradise.
So I love King David because he gives us wisdom. He says, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land that they may dwell with me. So in essence, you have to surround yourself with like-minded people, right?
Basically.
Looking for anybody else and trying to change them, you're never going to be able to do that.
No.
You got to find like-minded individuals, especially faithful to the Most High. And what do you say? That they may dwell with me. The king ain't going to let you dwell with him if you're not faithful to the Most High.
And that's dead on that.
And trust me, he can see right through you. You trying to hang out with the king, trying to fool him. He know in his heart who's real, who's not.
Right.
The one who walks is blameless will minister to me. So you can't even be around the king, you know, if you got, like, a felony record.
You don't want to rap. He don't even want you around him.
You got a rap sheet.
Yeah.
No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. Yeah, why would you want somebody that, you know, lies all the time, like Donald Trump? Would you want Donald Trump in your house?
Donald Trump couldn't even come in my front yard, okay?
Your front yard.
He couldn't even make it to the house. I don't want to rap.
That's what King David is saying. He said, no one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence, much less my house. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evil doer from the city of Yah.
Right.
And King David had the power to do that. So as a king, he watching everybody. Right? So in the morning, he's looking for the wicked in the land. You wicked? You about to get done in. That's what a righteous king does. So that the people have to fret, you know, based on what wickedness does when people become wicked. And evil doers do what they do. He said, I'm going to cut every evil doer off from the city of Yah. How does Jerusalem look today?
Come on, bro. It don't look like what King Dawood talking about.
Not even close. They got gay parades and all kind of foreigners up in the land. And ain't an Israelite in sight. Not a priest, not one of the sons of Aaron. We not up in there. So you know the wicked took over.
Exactly. And but, King Dawood wouldn't be up in there neither.
Most House coming to clean it up, believe me, because that's his city. That's the place where he said he's going to dwell. And we're going to have to go through those same procedures, protocols, to reestablish our priesthood. And if you don't believe that, we read the book of Malachi, where Most High said he's going to purify them with the fire. He's going to, you know, bring back the sons of Levi and the house of Aaron. So we're going to have two messiahs, the anointed king and the anointed priest. You can't be both.
Mm-hmm.
So people think this man in the New Testament is both. He's king, he's priest, he's God, he's son of God, he's son of man. Who is this guy? For real.
Yeah, for real.
But our people are caught up in idolatry because they'll make a statue of him and swear that he could save them. But we know the first and second commandments. Mosiah brought us out of Egypt, Israelites, and we're not to serve any other god but him. And he said, don't make no idols. He said, you can't imagine me to be the likeness of anything in heaven above, earth beneath, or in the waters under the heaven. So why would you try to make an idol, male or female, and bow down and worship it?
Exactly.
He didn't change his mind.
Exactly. Well, that's that on that. And thank you, Cartrio, for our study session. Thank you, listeners, for our studying together. And I pray that Cartrio and I inform you what the Most High would have you to do, and you take it and apply it to your life, because that's the only way you're going to solve any of your problems. Lean into your own understanding, doing whatever you want to do, how you want to do it. It is not going to suffice. It's not going to work for you. It's going to work entirely against you. Contrail, what's your closing remarks, my brother and friend?
I just hope we glean something out of these Old Testament scriptures. We see how serious the Most High was about his people, and he's talking about his nation, the children of Israel. He's focusing specifically on us, and we need to focus on ourselves. It's not what the other nations are saying or saying about us. It's what the Most High is telling us that we need to do, that we really need to be focused on. And we got, you know, people running around with, you know, self-imposed titles, but, you know, they playing games. You playing games with the Most High, you playing with fire. So me, I don't play with fire. They call me Moray, but everybody should be a Moray. And that only means a teacher, masculine teacher. Mora is a female teacher. And we should be able to teach our children. If we can teach our children about our culture, our history, our laws, our statue, and who we are, we should be able to teach anybody. So every Israelite should be a Moray or a Mora, because he did say we would be a priestly nation unto the other nations. So we have to know better than anybody else. And the funny thing is, other people study our culture, our history. They're looking for our artifacts more than we are. And that's the sad part.
Yeah, truth be told, Cartrio. Truth be told, my brother and friend. Well, my fellow brothers and friends and students, it's always a pleasure for Cartrell and I to bring the Most High Word to you in its entirety and its intricacies and its specifications, because that's the only thing that's going to be your solutions, not Yamsuf's opinion, not Cartrell's opinion, not anyone else's opinion. But the Most High Word is therein lies your solution. That being said, we don't know where y'all are going, but we know this for certain. You're going to be cut off right now from this show. No, not from the nation. Not unless you're compounding oil and incense in your tents. No.
You know somebody going to try to get them spices and hook that stuff up, bro.
But we always do what we don't both be doing, Cartrell. Always doing what we don't both be doing. I'm not surprised. And you shouldn't be either. Stiff-necked and stubborn. Well,
but
we probably
won't find those ingredients.
No. They'll come up with some hot mess. All right. We don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you. May you stop leaning to your own understanding, because it is not working for you. It is working entirely against you. Trust in the word of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We love you, and may the Most High bless you. Shalom. Good night.
Say the word.
It's a word.